Der NRG Star Talk. Eure Stars im Interview.
Hallo, schön, dass ihr wieder eingeschaltet habt. Mein Name ist Jale und ich freue mich auf diese Folge. Ich finde, ihr könnt diesmal einiges mitnehmen. Ich habe mit Ryan Tedder gesprochen, dem Leadsänger von One Republic, der natürlich durch seine langjährige Erfahrung in der Musikbranche einiges an Input zu geben hat. Zum Beispiel, wie und wo entsteht überhaupt so ein Hit? Oder wie ist die Zusammenarbeit mit David Guetta? Und natürlich haben wir auch über den EM-Song gesprochen, den er dieses Jahr mit Leonie und Medusa zusammen aufgenommen hat. Dann hat seine Band One Republic noch ein neues Album dieses Jahr rausgebracht. Also ihr seht schon, einiges an Gesprächsstoff gibt es jetzt hier gleich in diesem sehr offenen, authentischen und schlauen Gespräch mit Ryan Tedder.
So how's Berlin been for you? How long have you been here for?
Berlin's been great. This is day number 3. So far it's been awesome.
Any favorite parts?
I've biked all over the city. I think I biked 20 miles yesterday.
I never bike in the city.
No, it's such an easy city to bicycle in. All
you
of Europe
think
is.
So?
Oh yeah, yeah. This morning I did probably another, probably 20 kilometers.
Damn.
On the bike. maybe an hour of biking or something. But, Berlin is huge. So there's so many different neighborhoods and areas to check out other than just where we are here.
Yeah,
you know
true.
What I mean? So trying to see some stuff. My cousin lives here, so I'm going to have dinner with her tonight. And I have my like usual favorite spots that I like to hit every time I'm here. And yeah, it's awesome.
Can you name one?
yes. I'm a really big fan of if I'm in Germany, anywhere in Europe, but like we don't have beer gardens, so I like beer gardens. So
fair enough.
How do you pronounce it? Prater, Prater, the Prater Beer Garden, Prater, P-R-A-T-E-R, I think is how it's spelled.
Prater.
Oh. Prater Beer Garden.
Nice.
So, we've hit up that, and I have like some coffee shops that I like. I really like Father Carpenter a lot. I go there. I like the courtyard, and the coffee is really, really good. And then there's another place I went to yesterday that was really good called Bonanza Coffee.
Oh, Bonanza, yeah.
Bonanza, you've been there?
Bonanza, yeah. I think it's an Italian name. I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. Some like cool clothing shops that we don't have in the States. I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, tried to hit like a techno club last night.
Oh, how'd that go for you?
Pulled up on one. Well, I have no patience. So like I'm allergic to lines of any kind. Like if I see a long line for something, if there's more than 3 people in line for anything,
yeah,
I'm not going. I just hate them. So like we pulled up and it was like, I've been with people from the record label before. I've been to like German proper Berlin discotheques, in clubs, et cetera. And we were looking for a very like typical Berlin techno club just for fun, like to go for an hour and just like listen to music.
Yeah.
And the one that we went to just had a line around the block. And it was just like, I'm not doing
that. Oh, yeah. That's like the standard for every major club.
Yeah. And I was
here.
Not dressed appropriately. Everybody was wearing all black. And I was like, I also don't know. It's Berlin. So you don't want to show up on theme night, like you walk in and it's all just like S&M.
Very likely. Sometimes people wait for like 2 hours to then get rejected.
Yeah. And I've heard about the clubs that start at Friday night and they go until Sunday morning or something. It's crazy.
I don't understand how I did that as a teenager.
You did that? Yeah. I just
48 hours was the longest I went.
That's
insane. Looking back, I was like, girl, but I was 17. I think you have a different energy back then.
So much Red Bull. Yeah.
Red Bull vodka. It's
Red
like
Bull
the
vodka
death
forever.
For your heart.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah.
But you've got a lot going on right now. You're here for a reason. So the European Championship football, you did that song amazing, Fire. What was your favorite part about recording that song?
I think my favorite part about recording the song was probably shooting the video, because we recorded it in Los Angeles and the music was done in Los Angeles, Germany, and Italy, because, you know, Medusa's Italian. And so it was recorded all around the world. And then the first time we all got together was Ultra Festival in Miami. And I was premiering my our David Guetta single, Don't Wanna Wait, the same weekend.
Oh, damn.
So I performed at Ultra. We closed out Ultra Festival, the last song of Guetta's set. We premiered I Don't Wanna Wait, which was crazy. And during the day, that whole day, I was shooting the video for Fire. I shot the video for I Don't Wanna Wait that same weekend. So I shot two videos.
In one weekend.
Performance. Two performances. We performed it. We performed it actually. I forget which club, but we actually went and performed Fire for the first time in Miami. So it was just a crazy Ultra dance weekend in Miami. And that was my favorite memory because it was just, it was wild.
Yeah, that sounds wild. Very linked to music and dancing.
It wasn't Berlin wild, but it was like Miami wild.
So you got a thing for dancing. Other than that, how big of a role does football, like soccer, you guys say soccer, right?
Yeah.
Play in your life?
Well, I'd say the role that it played is that it was the first sport I ever played, and I played it from age five until age... I played it competitively from age five until age 17.
Oh, that's a long time.
Then I played again in college on just like intramural team, just like a... Not like for the university, but we played every year and very competitive, and we were first place every year in our small little university. So effectively, you could say I played football 17 years. That's probably longer than any sport I've ever played.
Damn.
Yeah.
And so you're really actually excited about the whole
Yeah, cup. I actually am. I love watching it. I understand the level of competition of what it is here.
It's a lot of pressure.
It's more intense fandom than any sport in America. Like the football in Europe is the fans, the love, the loyalty is greater than what I've seen for American football or baseball or basketball.
Really? You think that?
I really think that. I mean, people get in. I mean, you know, you leave America, there might be at the end of a championship game, there might be some fights. There might be some people that go to jail. There isn't murder. and America it doesn't shy away from killing some people. I mean, they love their guns, but but like around the world, you go to South America or Mexico and places in Europe, it's like it in some cases it's like if a game doesn't go well, people die.
Yeah,
that's how crazy they are.
Yeah.
So I was in Rome 1 year during the World Cup, and I happened to be there when Italy lost. And it was
my God.
People pouring into Romans pouring into the street, just going crazy. And I was like, oh my God, this is just, it's just a different level than what we have in America.
That's interesting to know. Cause I always thought that Americans were very obsessed with what they have,
they
especially
are.
American football.
Soccer, football in America is getting way more popular now because of Messi, because of David Beckham in Miami, like what he's really bringing, I've never seen, it's the most popular that it's been in history is right now in America. It's still not close to what it is in Europe. But, you know, the thing with the States is we just have so many options. And the reason that European football hasn't caught on so well is because on any average night in any major city in America, you have the option to go to a professional baseball game, hockey game, soccer, football, basketball, you know, wrestling. I mean, we just have so many things and so many sports. And then and that's not counting all the colleges and universities who have crazy fandom. And you have your local Notre Dame or University
of
Washington.
You have a bigger culture.
Washington.
Of that
we have a much
do,
bigger, sure. America has a much bigger sports culture than Europe.
I would say that as
but
well.
You guys just take all of that energy and focus it on one sport.
Which is sometimes sad because I feel like the basketball scene gets left out a lot.
Yeah.
And people complain.
And you guys have some good, you know, there are some talented players, basketball players from Europe. You know, a few times a year you guys end up with a huge star that gets signed to the NBA. Mm-hmm. But it's just not the same.
I know.
Yeah.
But regarding the European Cup, did you have, like, independently of who won and lost, did you have a little favorite team that you were rooting?
Germany,
really?
Yeah. I wanted Germany to win. I wanted Germany to make the finals, no matter what.
That's...
I mean, we've done two official theme songs for the German national football club for two different World Cups. And Marching On being the first one years ago. And that was a good one because you guys won. because of the song. That's why you won.
Yeah, it's all the atmosphere, yeah,
exactly,
the vibes.
Exactly. It was all Wonder Public. If I have allegiance to any one team, it would for sure be the German football club, but there are other countries that I have love for. I have love for England, I have love for France, you know, and Italy, and you know, I spent a month in Spain a couple summers ago. So like, I'm kind of torn between all of the countries. Yeah. There was a time when I was rooting for Turkey just because I like the underdog. And I thought, wouldn't it be crazy if Turkey made it all the way?
Oh, you know? My family sure would have been happy.
Oh, you're Turkish.
Yes, okay. I am.
There you go. So I thought it was really cool that they looked like a really good team. But I always liked the underdog. So, but yeah, I really thought Germany had a chance.
Yeah,
I was
me
hoping
too.
It would.
Yeah, the European Cup was not the only thing going on. You got a lot going on this year. You just had an album released, Artificial
Yes.
Paradise. How does that feel for you that it's out now?
It feels good. It's, it's an album we've had planning to release for almost a year and a half now. So it took much longer than it should to come out for a bunch of different reasons, but it feels like a weight off of our shoulders. We've been waiting to get this album out, to get these songs out in the world and start performing them. And it's like it took, because we just released so many singles. Thank you. We released so many singles leading up. The first single on the album was West Coast. That came out spring of 2022.
Yeah, it's a long time.
And then I Ain't Worried was the second single, right? Which was the Top Gun song. And that song became so much bigger than anybody thought that we spent mostly a full year just focused on that song, promoting it, playing the European Music Awards, touring on it around Europe and around everywhere in the world. And then Runaway, which we shot the video in Asia, and so on and so forth. There's so many different songs. And then we saw the David Guetta song coming, and we were thinking, you know, we haven't done a proper dance record in a long time, mm-hmm. like 6-7 years. And our music and my voice works well. It lends itself to DJs. We just don't want to do too many of them. So to be honest, I was nervous about the UEFA championship song with Medusa, only because I knew we had the David Guetta song. And I was mm-hmm. like, that's a lot of dance music mm-hmm. at the same time. So I'm going to have to like walk away from DJs for the next 2 or 3 years. But once we looked at all the songs we had coming out between I Ain't Worried and Fire, UEFA, David Guetta, we have a song called Hurt that just came out. We have a big feature, artist featuring on that coming out in a few weeks. It was just like, it's time to put out an album. We have all the songs. We've been writing them for 2 years. Let's put out the album. Let's stop procrastinating. And I think sometimes you just have to put a date on a calendar and say, this is the date. It's coming.
Push yourself.
And to be honest, after 2 years, I was already collecting songs in my mind, thinking of ideas for the next album.
Oh, wow.
And that's always a sign to me, it's time to put out an album, because I was already thinking about what I want to do next. And I was like, well, we can't do anything new. I want to do something completely different, you know, and surprise people on the next album. But we couldn't do that without getting out Artificial Paradise. And I love the artwork. I love the songs. It's really a reflection of the last 2 years. And I think for people who have ever liked a single song that One Republic has ever done, that we've ever done, you will find songs on the album that you absolutely love. Going back to 2007, 8, 9, 10, mm-hmm. we have songs that feel like that original band. And then we have songs that represent 2024 that are very modern. And I really think it's the best example of like new and old. If anyone's ever listened to us, cared about us, I think this is that album. It captures the full spectrum of sound.
Yeah, beautifully said. You gave so many hints to so many questions I had. I'm going to start with...
That's what I do. That's how I do it.
Because our channel is obsessed also with David Guetta for some reason. What's
there
the favorite or best part about working with David Guetta?
I work with David a lot, both with One Republic and myself and for other songs that he's putting out. We've become really good friends in the last 2 years, I'd say. I've known him for years, but in the last 2 years, we've gotten really, really close. the best part about working with David Guetta, his energy is just doesn't make sense. Like, I think I'm a high energy person, mm-hmm. right? I think he's like 10 years older than me, maybe more. He has the energy of a 25-year-old. And he has more energy than anyone else that's in the room. And it's always positive energy. Like, he just defies logic. He defies age. He defies everything. He's obsessed with music. It all comes from a pure place. He is constantly curious, super curious. And like, he's one of those guys, like, if he was in Berlin right now and had a fly to Ibiza for his residency, right, which I think is Mondays at Uisha, his residency every Monday in Ibiza, in the time it takes to fly from, most people would get on the plane in Berlin, right? What is it? A 2-hour flight to Ibiza, probably something like that.
Around now.
Yeah. You get on the plane, put on your headphones, relax, maybe read a book, maybe watch.
He can't do that.
Something. He, every flight, makes a new song.
No.
It's insane. He's like, I just made this on the flight on the plane from Berlin to Ibiza. It's crazy. I only had like 45 minutes, but I made it. It's super cool. I think you're going to like it. Check out this beat. And it's like, what? Like, and it's just nonstop. And I work a lot. I'm always working, but like, he outworks everybody. He deserves everything he has. And what I can tell any David Guetta fans is he does it for the music and he does it for the fans. His favorite thing in the world, because he DJs every night, he watches everyone in the crowd.
Yeah.
He pays attention to when he tests new material. He pays attention to, he scans everyone to see how they're reacting. And if he can tell, ooh, they like this new tempo, this new song, he goes back that night and he goes, we have to make a song at this tempo. The crowd went crazy. We have to make a song at this tempo. Or they don't like this song. We don't do this song. Like, so it's, he's like an A&R record label executive, marketing executive, songwriter, producer, artist.
He does
all of it. Yeah. He's lovely and he's extremely kind and like gracious and just all the qualities that you hope he is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy and nice to hear. I didn't know anything I knew little about David Guetta. You just mentioned about him writing those or creating those tracks on the plane. One of my questions, I don't know how my channel thinks about it. Personally, I wanted to know because you've written so many lyrics in your life.
Yes.
And I always wonder, like when I listen to music and I'm like, where is this lyrics born? Do you have spaces where you can't at all, or do you have favorite places sometimes, like something maybe off the studio somewhere else?
Let me sip this coffee real quick.
Yeah, sure.
Whoa, that is strong.
That's you wanted a triple.
No, I need,
I'm like,
I need
when I heard that I was like, what? Well
it's 5 o'clock and like this is like the jet lag hour. You know what I mean?
Okay.
5 to 7. It's like, yes. So it depends on the type of music. If I'm writing, let's say pop material or rap, and I write a lot of rap bars and rap stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If I know what the topic is and obviously I know who the artist is, I'm good at doing it really fast in a very quick focused like window. So if I'm doing something that's like Lisa Blackpink, I did her new single Rockstar, and like writing those verses, writing her rap, I knew, okay, Lisa's, and she helped us as well. But like she was in Bangkok when we were doing it in Los Angeles, sending us ideas. But I knew like in the rap, okay, she's from Bangkok. She's travels a lot. She does these things. So my brain just kind of shuts off and I can like just spit out line after line after line. It's kind of like a muscle. I've just exercised it so much when I'm writing that type of stuff. Or if I'm doing like a dance record, right? It depends on who the artist is and how much of their story they've given me. So, you know, I I'm working with, if I'm working with Miley, she's talks a lot in a session and just gives you so much. Mm-hmm. She gives you so much material. You could write 3 songs every time you're with her. And I can write it really fast when I'm with her. You know, Adele, same deal. The other side of that coin though, is if I'm trying to do something emotional, mm-hmm. right? So you have multiple kinds of songwriting, obviously dance, fun, euphoric records, which are still very hard, by the way, like mm-hmm. writing a dance. The problem with dance records, like big, big dance hits is you, if you get one word wrong or yeah, one phrase, it becomes super cheesy. Mm. A song can go from like incredible, wunderbar, to scheiße. Like if you change one word, that's dance music. That so dance music sounds easy to write. It's not because it gets so corny so fast. But if you get the right lyric, it makes people want to fly.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you think about, for me, it was like, If I Lose Myself, the Alesso song we did, or, you know, I did another song with Kygo, Lose Somebody. And it's like euphoric, but also makes you want to cry. And mm-hmm. those are the best dance songs, you know. Coldplay, Something Just Like This with Chainsmokers, or like, what's the one they did with Avicii? Stars, I forget what it is. Anyway, you know what I mean? So yeah. there's your goal is to not make something generic when you're doing those kind of records. You want to make people feel euphoric. When I'm writing something that's super emotional or personal, I have to leave the room.
Okay.
And so I can write with people in the room, but if it's for One Republic or...
Yeah, that was my next question.
If it's for One Republic, I typically will get the music recorded, some part of music. I might have some melody or I might have the chorus already written. And then I leave the rest of it blank and I literally walk. I leave the room. I leave the building. If I'm in a hotel, like I'm in Berlin today, I'm working while I'm out here, actually not on One Republic. I'm working on, because we put an album out, so I'm giving myself at least a month to not do One Republic. I'm working on 2 other artists' projects that I unfortunately cannot mention. I wish I could, but I can't say them on air. But one of them is like, I need to walk around and kind of headphones on, and I just
walk. Be with yourself.
I walk aimlessly by myself, and I listen to it over and over, and I'm stopping. I stop and I write lyrics. I do it when I jog too. I go for runs throughout cities and I stop and like, I'll be listening and I'll go, ooh, that's a good line. And I'm writing the lyrics as I'm like walking through
It's interesting that you're using movement as a tool.
I have to have movement and I have to, people watching is critical. Yeah. I need to be able to like just go and meander and like sit at coffee shops and stores and walk around and observe life and sometimes that will give me ideas. But it's more about like, it removes the pressure. Mm-hmm. It removes the pressure of, if I'm sitting in a studio or in a hotel room by myself, it's like, I can feel all of the pressure. Okay, be genius right now. Come on, go, be creative.
It's not loose, it's very concentrated.
Yeah, you need to be a genius. You need to be creative. You need to... have the best lyric, the best, and the best ideas and lines come when you're not trying so hard.
Yeah.
And so if I distract myself with cities and places and things, especially when I leave the country, when I leave the States, or if I go to New York City or other places, fine. I got to leave LA sometimes and I come up with the best lyrics like that.
That's nice. So you soak your inspiration from your surroundings.
I soak it in from surroundings and very often in the songs, you can hear you can tell in the music or in the lyrics, you can hear the inspiration in the songs because I very often will let the location of where I'm at influence what's happening. And I also will listen to local music wherever I am and try and look at like what are they streaming and what are they listening to? And I was just in Istanbul. So I'll be in Istanbul and like, okay, what's happening in Turkey right now? You know, what's happening and, you know, we have a hit song right now in Japan. We're like the only English speaking song in the charts right now in Japan. And I had to pay attention to what the Japanese people were listening to And we wrote the song for Kaiju Number 8. It's this big anime, manga, TV show.
Yeah.
Theme song. And it just went nuts. Yeah. And part of that, though, was like I went to Japan.
Yeah.
And spent 4 days there walking around and listening to music and paying attention.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's a fun gig, but you have to be.
So you're also staying curious and
you
open.
Have to stay curious and you have to pay attention and you have to give a shit. You know what I mean? It's not people like, you do so many songs. It just must be like the, it's like, no, the day that I think, like I wrote the theme song for the Olympics coming up, Coca-Cola, you know, every 4 years they do the big Olympics / Coca-Cola official Olympic song. So I wrote the official song for the Olympics. We just finished it 2 days ago. They shot the video and I can't announce who the artists are yet, but they're about to start teasing the song.
Congratulations.
Really fun, big sounding, fun stadium record. The chorus is very simple. It's probably, it's either the most brilliant or the dumbest thing I've ever written because part of the thing was they were like, we need everyone in the world to be able to sing it no matter what language.
Yeah, that's actually a nice aim.
So I had to go for big gang vocal kind of like, almost like, I was thinking like, the song I was thinking about like was like Calvin Harris when I met you in the summer. So I was thinking I need something that simple. And then we got two really big iconic artists on the song. And that song would have been an easy one for me to just, I'm just going to phone it in and take a check and thank you. But I just the way I'm wired, I can't do that. I'm like, no, it has to be. I have to write this as if the Olympics don't exist and it just needs to be the best song that these two people could do. That's one listen that feels euphoric, that makes people want to come together and dance and have a good time. And I think I rewrote the song seven times, seven different rewrites on the verses. So you just have to, you have to care, you have to pay attention. But just like running, you know, the more you run, the faster you run. The more you run, the easier it gets. And if you run every day, you know what I mean? It's just like...
If you leave out alcohol in the nights.
Well, I'll tell you what though. Sometimes running an early morning run will make up for the alcohol you have.
Trust me, I've
had those mornings where I'm like, I feel like shit. I'm going to go run a 10K and sweat everything out.
Yeah.
A good sauna and a good run will cure most things.
Okay, we're running. Okay, I have one last question to the album because I thought it had a very spheric, I can't tell, like when I listened to it, I thought I was in space with some songs. Like it had this spheric vibe.
Yes.
And there was one track that caught my attention because it was solely instrumental. Singapore,
yeah.
Was that inspired in Singapore?
Yes.
Because that was, I don't know, it was amazing.
Yeah, that was done in Singapore. And Brian Willett in our band actually came up with that one. And he's like a big analog keyboard guy. And we play Asia a lot. It's one of our favorite places to tour and a huge, huge market for us. I mean, I think we're there 4 times in the next 9 months. So we were in Singapore. We're probably in Singapore at least once a year, maybe twice. And that Singapore is otherworldly and if you haven't been, when you go for the first time, you feel like you landed 50 years in the future.
Yeah,
You've never been there.
Have you been?
It feels like you're visiting the future version of what the rest of the world will look like. And it's otherworldly and just takes you a different place. And like, you know, we thought, well, we could put lyrics to this and make a song called Singapore, but that doesn't really, it's like, no, we'd rather it be a mood setter that takes you, and historically with this band, starting with our second album, we really focused on instrumental pieces in between songs, and I spent loads of time making these things.
Yeah.
And we wanted to come back to that, and, you know, I don't know, I have huge ambitions for the next album that we do. Like, the most excited I've been about making an album ever is like right now. And it was because of Artificial Paradise, because it got us back to lots of live instruments and focusing on emotion and taking people to a place.
Make them feel something.
We have a song called Last Holiday that's like track 2 or 3 that's my personal favorite.
Oh, okay.
Because it just...
Last Holiday.
When you listen through to the whole thing, what the lyrics are saying. And musically, what it sounds like to me is if One Republic has a sound, that song Last Holiday is like the most us of anything on the album. I don't know that it's a hit song, but it's just my favorite. And it feels like
a representation.
It's something we're going to do live because it's like, it just feels, I mean, it just makes you feel something. Yeah. And Singapore, I'm glad you like that song. That I love that song. And it's if you put it on loop, it's also good to fall asleep to.
Or be creative to, right?
Or be creative to, exactly. Yeah, take you to a place. Yeah.
Is it important to you that people listen to the album in a certain, in the order that it's listed in?
I changed the track listing on the album 10 days before it came out.
Oh, wow.
I went through and I didn't like how it was sitting, which I think fucked up a bunch of different, like, if you go, for instance, to buy the vinyl, it's a completely different track list. If you go to Apple Music, I think it's taken them a while to figure it out. But I went through and reordered everything in the order that I would play them for people. And that's how I usually do it.
Okay.
I'm not taking all the credit for a track listing. I didn't do, on Human, I did not. But on most of our albums, the band can hate me for this, but I do the track listing.
Yeah.
And it's always the last minute. I go, we got to change it. I went through and I thought, if you've never liked this or always liked this or somewhere in between, I want it to hit play and the whole thing just flows like a set.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think if you are, I would advise at least one time, just listen straight down.
Yeah, yeah.
And then once you get to the end of the album, the last 3-4 songs, we obviously put the dance music, all that stuff's at the end. We had it spaced throughout the whole album.
I think it's good that way.
But that's what made me want to change it.
Yeah.
I was like, Brent, no. Like, people are going to skip the ones they already know. Like, I also, there's 10 new songs on this album. And if we scatter Geta and Fire and all these other, and Runaway, if we scatter all these older songs, it won't feel like a new album.
Yeah.
Let's, the first 10 songs, I Ain't Worried is the only one that we put in the first 10 because it made sense where it was. But everything else, the first, call it the first 10 of the first 11 songs are all brand new. So it's like a full album.
It makes you dive into it.
It makes you dive in, and then we give you 6 or 7 songs that have come out in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So you can listen to those again, or you can skip.
Thank you so much for telling me all that. I think we have to end the recording time.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Der Energy Star Talk. Einer von vielen Energy Original Podcasts. Noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de.